I've seen every season.
I keep seeing clips of that, and I'm like, this movie sounds interesting, but I really don't know if I want to see it.
All right.
Oh, Brandon, Best Friends. You mean Best Friends?
Wait.
Or Just Friends?
No, yeah, not Just Friends is so good. I want Brendan to watch. I still think it's crazy. I know Brendan always says I don't watch movies, but I still think it's crazy that he didn't watch Edge of Tomorrow yet, that he's never seen that movie.
I know.
You know, I feel crazy. Like he would pick that movie next month. You could make it Edge of May.
No, like that's a movie that I guarantee you that's a movie that Brendan would walk away like that's like one of the best movies I've seen in a very long time. Like,
and yeah, the pick it because three of us have seen it.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah, but my rules don't have to apply to how you guys pick movies.
No, but
you
I kind of like picking random shit, you know?
Yeah. Every month I will pick a movie that I know all of us have seen.
I mean, whatever. You have the power.
I have the power.
Anyways.
I'm just going to pick Shrek for all my picks going forward.
Yeah.
I mean, how many do you have left for the year? You have three left? No. I only have two left for the year.
He will just keep picking the first Shrek movie. Everything was
correct.
It's dumb. No, you know what it means. Shrek.
I'll just pick Shrek forever after. We'll just skip the first three. We'll just go to the fourth movie.
Oh, but Todd won't understand it though. He won't get it. He's gonna watch them all. We'll do a quadruple feature.
I barely made it through the musical, let alone anything else.
Oh, I forgot that we did that.
Oh yeah. True. I'll just keep picking the musical again.
Listen, that thing wasn't the worst thing we've watched.
Yeah, it was fine. I remember enjoying
it. I don't know Shrek.
I honestly don't know what the worst thing we've watched is. I'm sure it'll be disagreed by like.
I mean, that cast killed it too. They did a good job.
Yeah, they did a good job.
Anyways, welcome everyone to the Pass Control Podcast. Sure, a couple of best friends talk about the latest video games in nerd culture. Sometimes we have guests. Sometimes we talk about movies, and that's one of those episodes tonight. We're gonna chat about Mike's movie club pick.
It was not my pick.
Dom's movie club pick for March, Poor Things. So if you have not watched Poor Things yet, you might want to skip this episode and come back, because we very shortly will get into that film and spoilers will be all over the place. But before we do that, as always, I'm your host, Brennan Groom, and joining me on this lovely Friday evening is the anime senpai himself, Mr. Michael Dizier. Fuck, I keep forgetting that I want to start introducing you as Martini Mike. I'm sorry. Martini Mike, how are you doing?
I mean, I'm having a vodka cran right now, so don't even worry about it.
You made a vodka cranberry, or you're drinking a...
Yeah, I made one.
Oh.
Because I had vodka, and I had cranberry, and I had nothing.
There you go.
Okay. Even though I just watched John Oliver's thing about delivery apps, and I shouldn't be using them.
It's not that you shouldn't be using them. It's just that you should, if the restaurant has an option to order directly from them, you should do that.
Yeah.
I think Grubhub is the one you should avoid using. It was either Grubhub or DoorDash. One of them is horrible for restaurants.
Yeah. And I mean, to be fair, I don't use DoorDash because I already get Grubhub Plus from Amazon, and I keep forgetting to cancel my Uber One. So I'm like, all right,
very familiar.
I'm not going to use DoorDash.
Just that Pete, you shouldn't be using those things. Yeah, that I say.
The reason why you shouldn't be using them is not because of your "they eat your French fries" or whatever bullshit.
No, they just trash your food.
No, it has nothing to do with that. It has all to do with the percentage that they take from restaurants. That's what it is.
We not to completely get off topic of movies or whatever,
and how they treat their employee and how they treat people that deliver for them.
I want to quickly say, you know, whenever I order food, not whenever I order food, but occasionally I order food, something bad happens, and I mention it, and Todd's like, see, I told you so. The other day, I ordered food from Jamie's Roast Beef, right?
And you got extra for someone else's food. They doubled it down.
No, they didn't double it down, but what happened was the food came very quickly, number one. Number two, it was raining outside. It was in a paper bag. The guy hung it up. Like, there was, like a nail in my door to, like, you know, I guess if I had, like, a Christmas wreath or something. I don't know. Something would hang on there. He came by. He hung the food up on the door so it wouldn't get soaked up in the rain. I'm like, this is top-notch service. This is great stuff. Normally, this wouldn't come up in conversation, but, you know, here it is. But just to say, it's not all bad.
I have, knock on wood, I have very few bad experiences with using delivery apps. But prior to the John Oliver thing, we already, like, when there's an option to just order directly from a restaurant, we do that because I just always assumed that that would be more beneficial for the restaurant.
But I might just be ordering from fucking Wendy's right now, so, like, don't worry about it. Like, they can eat that cost.
Anyways, also joining us tonight, of course, is... Fuck, I had a different intro for Todd, too, and now I can't fucking remember what it was. What's Todd been doing lately that we want to yell about? There was something.
The PAX East.
Oh, Bobby. Shit, no, it's the fucking Marvel Cinematic Unitod. Todd Gary. That's not what it was. There's actually something. I just forget what it is. The fucking, this guy. Fortnite father. Actually, you are the Fortnite father now, because you play more Fortnite 100%. Than all of us.
Just hit level 90.
No, you did not. Did you really?
Where are you guys at?
Did you already unlock the... You did not hit level 90.
I unlocked the chorus stuff, yes.
Both sides of it?
I need to hire a couple more people and then I'm done with it.
Wow.
Or I need to revive you. Or I need to revive you guys because I haven't played with anyone else. And that's like, you can do that instead of...
That's the only one I have left too. I didn't know Todd was such a big anime guy. Or is Korra not anime like? Wait, give me the official pass controller stance.
That's Nickelodeon stuff.
Yeah, you don't want to. You do not want to get tangled up in that mess.
You are the voice of us for this. Mm-hmm. So hit us with the mic.
No,
yep, I'm standing.
Oh, no, you don't even want to get involved. You don't even want the sauce. Okay.
No.
Okay.
Absolutely not.
All right. And then rounding us out, of course, is the Disney daddy himself, Dominic 40. Dom, how are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm here.
Then that he is. Like I said, we're going to be chatting about Poor Things tonight. So if you haven't watched that yet, you might want to tune this episode off and come back to it later. But a couple of quick housekeeping things. This episode, of course, sponsored by our good friends at Goodnight Fatty. If you're in the Salem, Massachusetts area or the North Shore of Massachusetts on a Friday, Saturday, Sunday evening, you might want to get yourself something sweet, hot, and delicious fresh out of the oven. You can head on down to 1 Washington Square and get yourself a delicious fatty. But if you're like me and you don't want to leave the house, you can just get a nice little drop and you can go over to their Instagram at Goodnight Fatty and at Good Morning Chubby and educate yourself on these tasty, tasty treats. A couple other quick housekeeping things. If you missed our PAX East cocktail panel, that audio is on the podcast feed. The video is on our YouTube channel. And today I put up all of the recipes for those drinks, both as YouTube videos and written recipes on our website. So you can check all of those things out at pastthecontroller.io and make yourself some tasty, tasty drinks. I think that's it for housekeeping. Other stuff coming soon. Can't say stuff yet. That'll just get us right into it. My pick for April, I will reveal at the end of the episode. So if you are waiting to find out what that is, you're going to have to either listen to this or scroll through or look at our social media and it will be up over there. Anyways, as we do with all of the movie episodes, let's get the Rotten Tom up here. What do we think the old Roddy Tom, whose pick was this? Dom?
Tom's.
Tomato meter and audience score.
I'm going to go 86 and 75.
Okay. Todd?
I'm going to go 90 and 72.
Okay. Mike, take us home.
Which one do you want first?
It's always tomato first.
Tomato, then audience. Okay. I'm going to say 82-77.
Well, we got a split on the board here. Todd is the closest tomato, which was 92, and Mike is the closest audience, which is 79. Critic consensus, wildly imaginative and exhilaratingly over the top, Poor Things is a bizarre, brilliant tour de force for director Yorgos Lanthimos, I'm not sure, and star Emma Stone. I don't know. It's... Okay. I'm very confused. Maybe this is because this movie's on Hulu, that's why it's saying this. Instead of like, you may also like, it says something for everyone, which it does say after sponsored by Hulu Disney Plus, but it's just very bizarre that under it's this movies. Movie, it is Toy Story, Juno, Inside Out, and Poor Things Again. Very bizarre. I'm assuming it's just an ad.
Yeah.
Still weird regardless.
They've been doing a lot of we combined our apps advertisements.
And then the box office with a why does this not list the budget?
Box office, I'm very curious about what this movie. I'm actually very curious that this movie has a 78, 79 critic score. I mean user score. I feel like this is a movie that a lot of people probably wouldn't jive with. You know, like most of these movies that get reviewed well, and then like you see like the user score and it's like way off.
Yeah, I feel like this would be one. I feel like this is one of those movies that you're not going to go out of your way to see unless, like,
yeah, unless you know what you're getting yourself into. Kind of thing. Yeah, no, I get that.
Like we rarely pick like full blown stinkers. I feel like we should do that more often, but we don't.
I can go back to that.
Yeah, Mike, stop. What the fuck are we doing, Mike?
I can go back to that.
According to Wikipedia, it had a $35 million budget. So with the $35 million budget, Dom, where do you think this, what do you think this raked in worldwide? This rated R 2 hour and 21 minute film.
This is tough.
Yeah, I think it's impossible.
I'll throw out that it released on December 8, 2023.
Yeah, I don't know that that means anything to me, though, because it's gone through award season already. I'm going to go... I'm going to go 120.
Okay, 120.
Respectful.
Todd?
I'm going to say 65.
Okay. Mike, take us home.
I'm gonna say
what the diff, baby.
80.
I'm thinking about it. I was gonna say like 95.
All right. Since we don't do Prices Right the rules, we just do who's closest. Dom snags that up at $116 million dues. Poor Things had a nice 70-29 split favoring international moviegoers.
70%. International,
yeah,
wow, see, that makes sense.
I am also kind of surprised by that. I mean,
he's a Greek filmmaker, but still, 70 seems like a ton.
Feel like this movie has more European vibes to it than like.
I mean, it takes place in Europe.
Yeah, no, obviously, but like you know, like, but I'm saying like just in general, like the whole look, the like everything about it, like just.
Yeah, I guess.
So with that stuff out of the way, this fucking award season juggernaut had 406 nominations during award season, including 111 wins, and 11 total Oscar nominations with 1, 2, 3, 4 wins. Does anyone know the wins?
Yeah, I can't remember.
Best actress, yeah.
So, was it best costume design too?
Won best achievement in makeup and hairstyling. It won best performance by an actress in a leading role for Emma Stone. It won a best achievement in production design and
green writing, maybe?
Best achievement in costume design. I didn't know that those were different categories.
Production screen and costume
was the one that Emma Stone was at the bar, right? And she like saw it on TV while she was like ordering a drink that they had won.
I don't know. I didn't watch the whole.
As a matter of fact, wait, costume. No, that the one?
I read that where, like afterwards. She was like not there. Yeah. Like she had to like put her drinks down, like run back into the.
Wasn't which one was the one that John Cena presented and he was naked?
Costume.
Yeah, costume.
Okay.
And I guess other notable Golden Globes. It won Best Motion Picture Musical Comedy for Golden Globe, and it also won for Emma Stone as well on that. With all of that, seemingly critics and I would still say 70. What was it? 72. I'd say 72 is still pretty high.
Oh, pretty good. That's like a B minus, right?
Yeah. I mean, a 90-70 split, I think, is like pretty favorable film. Where this was all of our first time watching it, I'm assuming. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Dom, what was your pick overall? How are you feeling about Poor Things?
It was long. This is the first
get out of here. You're fucking with me.
This is the first movie where I will like try to beat Brendan to the punch. This movie was pretty long.
Yeah. I was actually surprised at how long it was, to be honest.
I said this before we started recording. I don't know if you were in the call yet, Dom. I think if they shaved off like 20 minutes of sex scenes, 30 minutes of sex scenes, they would have been a much more manageable timeline movie. Anyways, continue.
I don't know that there were 30 minutes of sex scenes.
A lot of them were pretty quick, but I think there was a lot of...
There was so much of it, especially towards the back third of the movie. There was.
I love the second, and I get it, but we
get the point. Like, we get it. Because I don't want to steal Dom's thing here, but like, I don't even think that a lot of those scenes brought a lot of art or humor to the movie.
Oh, the second sex scene where she's like goes back to what's his face, Hulk, and she's like, she was like, he did three pumps, and it was just like, and now I realize, you know.
So I just want to point out every time Todd does this, because Todd does this a lot, for the person that said that no one, like, you always call the MCU actors by the fucking superhero, you never can remember their names. Well,
I mean, no, I mean,
you're the one that does it every time.
Mark Ruffalo, but regardless, but like, I mean,
you always do it.
Yeah. Trust me. I'm about to start coaching and I'm panicking about even knowing kids' names. I'm like,
you know, yeah, you're
hey, you get over here. You
back to Dom.
Number 12.
I don't know. I had like, I enjoyed the film. It was, I was surprised to find out that it was a book.
Oh, really? I didn't know that either.
Yeah, I found that out very late in the game.
I mean, because I just kind of assumed that, like, the book that it was based off of was just Frankenstein. Like, that it was just, like a weird take on Frankenstein, because that's kind of what the fucking movie is.
Yeah.
But yeah, I enjoyed the story. I love Willem Dafoe and everything that he's in. He just was fucking
just always good.
Just weird again. He's just always like a weird fucking character.
I meant to write it down. At one point, I think it's early in the film when he's eating with Rami.
I think I know what you're gonna say.
Rami Youssef? Is that his name?
Yeah, I think so.
And they're sitting at the table eating, I'm pretty sure. And he says, I'm something of a blank myself.
Yo, I was like laughing. I was waiting. Like, yes. There was like, they had to do that on purpose.
I forget what, I 100% did that on purpose. But I forget what the word was he said. But I was like, this is ridiculous that this is here.
Right.
Some of the scenes like at the dinner table are just fucking a riot, where he just all of a sudden like just turns and like belches this giant fucking bubble up, like out of nowhere. The first time I was laughing. Yeah, I don't know. I had a good time with it. It was long, but like, I don't know. I didn't hate that it was as long as it was, I guess.
Yeah. What about you, Todd? Overall thoughts?
So I'm like torn on this movie. Like, I'm with you guys. I do think it was too long. I think the first half is great. I think the middle is where I have issues with it. And I think the last half is fucking phenomenal. It gets so good in like the last half hour to like 40 minutes. But I wasn't a big fan of like the whole boat part. That kind of lost me there. It was mostly the boat part where I feel like that part could have been cut a little bit. But then again, that part shows how like she starts reading and like, yeah, you know, she's just becoming. Yeah. Like, and honestly, like, I get why she won an Oscar. I still haven't seen Killers of the Flower Moon, which is like supposed to be like the front runner as well. But like, I did like seeing like, it's pretty wild the way she's walking in the first half of this movie to like the end where she's like sophisticated, wants to be a doctor. So there's great growth in this movie with her. And I thought Mark Ruffalo was great in the movie too. Like, and that dance scene is so good when she just gets up and starts dancing. Like, even though I thought that's where it started getting a little long in the tooth kind of stuff, but That whole scene was great. And I was reading up on that scene, and like, they recorded that for a while and they were just fucking kind of doing whatever. And I guess they did one take that was like, oh, this really works and kind of thing. But yeah, I mean, I will say this, it's very rare that I'm checking the time on a movie, but I felt like in the middle of the movie, I was like, oh man, it's like an hour and 45 minutes still. I'm like, wait, how? Like, yeah. But I mean, like, overall, I like don't think it's a bad movie. It's probably a movie I don't know if I'd really go out of my way to watch again, but like, not, but saying that, it's even saying that I still think it was a decent movie, but yeah, it's probably a one and done for me.
What about you, Mike?
Yeah, it was fine. I went into it knowing that it was
a porn. Something...
Yes, yeah, sure. But also that it was like not like I went to it thinking it was some sort of adaptation of Frankenstein. I wouldn't to it thinking that much. And to echo everyone else's complaints, yeah, it was kind of long. I don't know if I ever noticed the length per se, largely because I think after the first 20 minutes or so, at some point, like I started watching it yesterday and I stopped because I knew how long it was. So I think I watched 20 minutes, stopped. So then when I watched the rest of it for 2 hours, I'm like, okay, this is a movie. You know what I mean? I feel like after 2 hours, it feels like it's long.
We've set Brennan up to be like, yeah, this movie flew by. Like it was nice and quick.
Gonna pick an hour and 20-minute movie. Yeah. Next movie.
The best you thing about this is I think this is the first time that everyone we had of the fucking quadruple crown here. We got it. I don't know what the quad version of triple crown is, but is there a quad version of that?
I don't watch horse racing.
Well, regardless, we all think this movie was too long, and that makes me so fucking happy. I feel vindicated right now.
Well, you know what's funny about this movie is like back when I used to go see movies all the time, I always would see movies in the early morning. And when you see movies in the early morning, you get a lot of old people that just stumble into movies that like don't know what they're seeing. I can only imagine the crowds that walked into this movie and then they get to like the 30-minute mark and they're just like, Harold, we need to go. What's happening? Right,
well, at least we got the sex scene out of the way.
Yeah, yeah. Right. I remember seeing like Judge Dredd, the more recent one in the theater early morning, and like these old people are like, it's this, and like, you know, like every movie I used to go see movies every Friday morning or like every like Saturday morning before I had kids, and like the amount of old people that would walk into these movies, it would be like horror movies, and I'm like, all right, cool. You know? But this movie, I would have loved to have been in a theater to see them walk out of this.
Yeah, it does take a wild turn once she starts exploring herself and then everything else.
She's at the table.
Well, the first scene, I was like, I assume I know what's happening here because they don't show anything, and then she's just going at it at the dinner table, and I was like, right.
I am still grappling with how I feel about this movie. I think it was fine. I think the acting is good. I don't know how I feel about like the movie though. I think the plot and the characters have some interesting themes, maybe, but I don't know if they like nail it for me. Like, I don't know if the things that the movie is trying to say or do hit it the way it needs to hit it for me. I think part of that, and I know we jokingly sometimes, but also just in this case, we all think it's too long. I think the movie is too long to its own plot detriment. Like, I agree that the boat stuff, like Todd said, was pretty long. I understand that there's like character growth in there, but the whole movie is character growth for Bella. Like, Bella is constantly, like, the thing that I took away from this movie is that, like, it's a movie about different types of men trying to control a woman.
Yeah.
And each act of the film is Bella, like, realizing this and moving, finding a way through it and out of it. I think the only male character in the film that doesn't try to control her, well, still kind of does, but is probably the most freeing, is that John Carmichael?
Jared,
the comedian, right? That's who that was? Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
And he admittedly said that he was trying to control her, so.
Yes.
I feel like God didn't try to control her, though. Like, he did, but, he let her go. He could have stopped her. He let her go. He fucking let her,
He was always controlling, to the point where,
her existence.
Exactly. I think maybe a theme of this movie is, I forget what Bella's, Victoria?
Victoria, yeah. Victoria's.
Victoria did not want to be in that situation, and even in death, killing herself was not allowed to do that. Like, she was pulled in by a man. Like, you know, she was controlled even in death.
It's like,
in fairness, he did hey, listen, she was clearly trying to kill herself. I could have saved her. I let her die. Then I did my thing.
If you really think about this, though, the really fucked up part about this movie, if you really want to go deep into it, is that it's all about people wanting to have sex with basically a baby.
That is the reason why Jen did not want to watch the movie with me, because
I get it.
That's basically the synopsis she was told, and she was like, "Yeah, I'm good."
And so,
makes it even weirder when the movie is so sex focused.
But I don't necessarily know if I feel like they're not saying it's the baby's brain. It's the baby's brain fused with the mom's brain in some ways. I mean, I don't know who fucking.
Yeah,
knows,
and
but,
I,
yeah.
I didn't.
It's best to not justify it.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know the science behind this.
I didn't look into the quote that I saw because I was reading some. After watching the movie, I was just reading through a thread about people who'd watched the movie and their thoughts and stuff. And someone had posted a quote from the director, I think, who essentially said, yes, at the beginning of the film, she was very much a toddler. And then I think by the time she gets into the relationship with Duncan, with Mark Ruffalo's character, she was mentally sort of roughly the age of a teenager, maybe something like that. They framed it as,
I don't know if that makes it better.
I feel like it paints men as the bad guys, though, so I kind of get it kind of makes sense with what they were doing, because it's men that are just dirtbags, that's all they care about.
I think that might be part of the theming there. It is still kind of weird, I think. It is a weird premise. And I do think they try to justify it a few different times, because I think Willem Dafoe, Godwin, at least once, maybe twice in the movie, talks about how quickly, you're Bella's gonna accelerate, quickly and blah, 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 all the stuff. But I think that might also be I still think the sex thing with that aspect is still kind of bizarre. But I think the other aspect of it, at least that I was thinking of while I watched this movie, was sort of none of the men in the movie, they're all going through the same physical timeline as Bella. Obviously, there's other shit going on with her being, but all of them are the same person they were at the beginning of the movie and the same person they were at the end of the movie, aside from Duncan going fucking crazy. Whereas Bella's character grows at an exponential rate and surpasses to some extent, the men trying to control her.
Is Margaret Qualley the new Timothy Chalamet for me, because she annoys the shit out of me that she's in everything right now. That's the girl who was with the hammer in the movie. She's in the back half of it. She's
the next Bella. That's who that is.
Yeah. She's they throw her in every fucking movie.
Did they
movie
explain where that character came from?
I think they did. No.
They just said we need another dead body.
Yeah. So I wonder where and they pulled the other up brain from. They never say that, right? They never say.
No.
The freaking, yeah, I don't know.
I will say it's interesting too. I don't know if there's something deeper there, but in the end, Emma or Bella gets the sort of full circle moment of she's in control now, sort of. Like, she is controlling the fucking, I forget, the her victorious husband, weird fucking dude.
Colonel?
Colonel, yeah. That's she's controlling him.
Or the admiral, maybe.
And she gives the horrible lady her freedom, basically, at the end, too. The lady that, like, hated.
Yeah. But she also, like, sort of controls Max to an extent. Like, Rami's character is, like, kind of submissive, which I guess is not controlling. Like, it's just more submissive.
I feel like he was that way the whole movie.
He was. Yeah, he was. None of the male characters have any
change. He was.
I could say that Godwin might have changed a little
bit. I kind of agree with that, too, yeah.
A little bit. But even, no, because even on his deathbed, he, like, when she first goes back, he tries to, like, kind of give a not full truth answer, and she calls him out on it. I forget what he tries to say, but she calls him out on it.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably true. I just mean in the terms of, like, I think at the beginning, it wasn't until her extended absence that he, like, realized that he actually did care about her in a way that I don't think he fully understood.
He was still using it as, like, scientific method at that point, though.
Yeah. And I do think that, like, he's the only character that, unless I missed something, he's the only character that doesn't have, like, sexual or romantic intentions with her. He's more of, like,
I don't think Carmichael did either, did he?
I don't think he did either. I think he was more of just, like, there to kind of, like, stoke the curiosities. And then the other lady that was on the boat, too. Like, they were just more, like, free-thinking people that didn't conform to whatever that society was. But I like he still has, like, a parental love for Bella. Yeah. And, as well as the whole science side of things that was obviously very apparent. Get it? Like, oh my god. I don't know. The trailers for this movie, I will say. I feel like the trailers were just all boat scenes, and I guess it makes sense because that fucking part of the movie drags.
I feel like this is a movie
there forever.
You have to be in the right frame of mind to watch this movie too. Like, this isn't a movie you just can't fucking, like, put on and be like, I'm gonna watch this movie. I feel like this is one of those movies you, like, if you're not in the right frame of mind, you're gonna fucking hate this movie.
You kind of have to go in knowing what you're getting into and be like, all right, I'm in for the ride.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that's a defense for the movie though.
No, because me and Amanda tried watching it, but it was like, we started it at 10. I was already like a beer or two deep, and I'm like,
started at 10 p.m.
That's like late for me. And Amanda was enjoying it.
Two and a half hour movie.
Well, I didn't even look at the time of the movie, but then I fell asleep and she's like, yeah, it started getting really weird. And it was like, great, when she starts like banging everyone. And she was just like, but I told her that was what happened. And I'm like, it's basically like this whole thing. But she kind of dug it for what it was. But I'm like, I'm never watching it again. So watch it on your own time, probably.
Yeah, I could not see myself watching this movie again for any reason, to be honest.
I do feel like there's a lot of.
They pick up more stuff on the second one.
Yeah. Like, just seeing the scene that I have in my background, like, there's a big portion of, like, black and white to color change. Like,
yes, I didn't even think about that. Because, like, the whole first half of the movie is, like, in black and white. And then they go on, then she leaves with Duncan.
She leaves, and she's in color. And then I think they're still in black and white. And then,
yeah, I'm curious to know what that is.
At some point, they are in color, like, on both sides. So I feel like there's probably a lot of symbolism that, like,
yeah, 100%.
You'd have to rewatch to see, but
yeah, I'd rather just read someone else's dissection of it. Like, I'm not gonna rewatch it again for that. But there's definitely probably some meaning to that for sure.
I do think Emma Stone gave, like, an amazing performance in this. Like, as much as I'm like a diehard, like, the movie, like, is very hit or miss with me, but I think, like, her performance is pretty constant throughout the movie. She carries this movie on her back, basically. And don't get me wrong, the Incredible Hulk
and the dog with the duck body.
Oh, the dog.
Yeah, Yeah. But I do think Mark Ruffalo did a pretty good job in his minimal role that
he did too, but also there was definitely a scene, I forget what fucking scene it was, where I was like, he definitely laughed and they kept it in. Like, he was...
Oh, there was a scene. That's 100% what it is. They said they kept that in too. I don't know, really? Yes. I saw something on this and they kept it in, yeah.
Like, it doesn't break the scene. I was just like, huh? He's definitely pro character.
When he's downstairs drinking, he just keeps on smashing his head on the table.
Yeah. I mean, I will say it's another thing that probably contributed to me not like loving this movie is, like, for my personal taste, there's a lot of like quick and long, like, kind of grotesque scenes. I'm just like, yeah, I don't really need to see like up close slice open. That's just me preference. Like, I don't
need to see that shit. I fucking figured that out pretty quick. Brent, I'm like, oh, Brent's
gonna hate me on my next pick.
It's a mad scientist movie. I kind of expected.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I didn't expect it.
There's a fucking goat walking around with a goose head. Like,
yeah. I feel like I
didn't. How does it get there?
I just feel like I didn't need half that shit. Like,
we're doing Terrifier next movie pick, Dom.
Cool. Go ahead, Mike.
Honestly, I think what would have maybe the actual thing to cut time on the film is, I don't know if I really cared for that last part where it's like, oh, this is the husband and this is why she killed herself, and this is, I feel like that whole thing could have gone. I think the movie could have ended not necessarily with the wedding, but if something else could have happened that could have been quickly resolve things rather than have Duncan come back. Although I did kind of want to know more about the past life, so to speak.
Yeah, I will.
That's why I thought the last back half was so good. Like, all that stuff came to light. I was like, oh, this is good.
I'll disagree. I'll respectfully disagree with you here, Mike, because I do have mixed feelings about the ending. I did like that we got more of like Bella's previous life. I did like that we got some, I thought, kind of unsure how this is going to play out. And like, because that the movie could have ended with like her dying or, you know what I mean? Like, it could have ended that way. I was definitely not,
I assumed it was
not sure which way it was going to actually end. But what I don't like about that part, for the most, like, the major thing I don't like about that part is it's sort of, we get this very long film about a bunch of other people, and then we get this character at the end that is like kind of just gets the villain stamp as like the main villain, and it's like, person, but like, I kind of wanted a better resolution from either Godwin, Max, or Duncan. Like, and we get that with Max, and I think Max's resolution is fine. I guess Godwin's resolution is also kind of fine, but Duncan's not in the end after that, right? After the wedding scene, Duncan never shows back up, and that's kind of the weird...
Duncan's resolution is that he went crazy trying to...
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess then I just feel a little... It makes sense for Bella's character. Like, Bella leaving the wedding to go with that guy is like... It makes sense because she is... By either design or just throughout the whole movie, she is constantly learning and curious. And I think presented with the idea of you can learn about your past because other people won't tell you about it was like the most piqued her curiosity has probably been in the whole movie. So like, I think character-wise, it definitely made sense for her to choose that and go do that and see it through. But then realizing that what the truth actually was, she was like, yeah, no, I'm good with this shit. I just wanted to know.
Yeah, it was weird for, like, say what you will about the other characters. We watched Duncan's descent from just being, like, skeevy to, like, truly controlling. It was weird to just jump into this guy being a mustache-twirling villain. He shows up like, hey, I got my gun. The help might revolt on us. Hey, you know what we used to like? Hey, come and bring in the hot soup. Ha, psych.
Yeah.
Burnt yourself, bitch.
He really was, like, cartoon villain.
I feel like his whole character was cartoony, though. Like, I feel like he was constantly like that.
I feel like a lot of the behind this, like, the reason behind that would be that she finds out that she used to be a dick, but, like, that's not how she is now. So it's like showing, like, nature versus nurture.
Was that, and maybe I was spacing out a little bit, Did they, not that they spell it out, but I was under the impression that it was hinted that that was his interpretation of the relationship, but she had killed herself because it wasn't the case.
All the help hated her.
Oh, yeah, I suppose that is true.
But that also could have just been, like, a product of that relationship and not necessarily her.
I mean, sure.
Yeah. But, I would imagine...
She was, like, one-on-one with the maid and was like, hey, like, you know me, right? Like, what do you know about me? And the maid, like, refused to even talk to her, so...
Yeah. I don't know. It's definitely, like... It is a thought-provoking film. It has good
I recommend... Acting. It's funny you say that, because I recommend watching some of the director's other movies, basically either The Lobster or Killing of a Sacred Deer, because it's very thought-provoking movies that are
almost picks The Lobster.
They're so out there, like so out there. Killing of a Sacred Deer, Dom, I think is more on your level, and like you're gonna fuck. It's like I don't want to call it like horror, but it's like very suspenseful and it's like fucked up. Where and like every one of this guy's movies is just like wild fucked up shit, like. And The Lobster is like another fucked up movie, but it's not. It's more like comedy fucked up and like not as bad. But like, yeah, it's yeah, he's got some like really interesting movies. The guy's definitely very unique in his style of what he does, and he fucking loves fish lens. He loves those little like
a lot of fish lens in this movie.
Oh, dude, watch his other movies. All his other movies do the same
thing. Every single time, I thought it was going to be like
that was the other thing I was waiting to be resolved.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, there's no resolving that. That's
because near the end, I was like, all right, who is the one that's watching all this shit through the fish lens?
It's so aggravating.
It's the director. He's like, he's in on this, you know, because he loves this.
Godwin like was sending some sort of like
I assumed it was like a larger experiment. He was like, yeah, just go ahead. And like he was like watching her from
he loves it watch his other movies, just fucking, you're gonna be like, oh okay, it's like his thing basically.
And I did expect this movie to be I don't know if darker is the term, but I was expecting more murder. I expected someone was gonna get into a fight and people were gonna die.
I was expecting
I guess.
Not that I needed it, I just have to expect it to happen.
Well, no, just, I like, on that point, like, early in the movie, like, she goes out on the walk with
Max and God.
Max, and, like, he's holding the frog, and she's like, all right, let's kill her.
Yeah.
And then, like, she's, like, throwing, like, I forget, like...
I was like, oh, she's definitely going to kill someone. Yeah.
Smashing plates.
Yeah.
I wonder if that was, like...
Just more character development and like showing that she's not going to be that person. Maybe
I'm just like, now that we're like talking about it, I wonder if that was like her adult brain, like still there. So like she's a dick and like she's trying to kill things.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Okay, that actually I like that idea.
Like she undoes it as she's
No, I get that. I think that's a good. Good call, actually.
Because there's no, like, there's no real other reason at the beginning for her to, like, want to, like, just kill shit and, like, destroy shit.
Yeah. I'm kind of mad that you brought up the fisheye thing, though, because now I'm still mad about it. Like, that was, like, one of my, I was very mad about that. I was looking up something to prepare for the end of the episode as we get closer to it, so I don't know if this got brought up, but there was... When Bella and Mark Ruffalo have sex early on, a pigeon flies into the room, or a dove or something. Did anyone bring that up?
We didn't bring it up, but like that was like, actually part of my thought process. Like, I thought that was Godwin.
Me too. Yes.
Like, sending stuff. I do. Yeah. I thought that was going to have something to do with something.
Like, I don't know if there's symbolism or something there, but like the camera cuts to that pigeon flying in the room and then cuts back to them having sex. And I'm like, oh, okay. So they're being watched. Cause again, like there's a lot of like, fisheye and other like camera things going on, but then there are specifically the ones that are like in the hole, like the ones that have black around it and like look like it's someone looking through something, and it fucking drove me insane. I guess any final thoughts on Poor Things before we
did anybody else think that guy was getting his dick chopped off at the beginning of the movie? when she like had the scissors and she was like,
yes.
I was already when that scene started, I was like I would look at the screen, kind of look away, look at the screen, kind of look away. And then when she didn't like chop his dick off, I was like, all right, maybe she's just going to like play with the dude's body. And then she starts stabbing him in the eyes. Like, all right, cool. I'm good. I'm good with this scene.
Yeah, I got nothing else.
I wonder if there's other like symbolism or theming behind the locations in the order that they travel to them.
This has got to be, because it seems like it has a shit ton of symbolism in it. It's making me think, like, maybe do I need to watch it again? And I'm like, I'm not that. Like,
I mean, you spend your 3 hours.
Amanda might want to watch it again. You know, like, it's, you know.
Because they go London to. Boat Lisbon. Is not second. There's something else in between.
No.
Lisbon.
No,
this,
Lisbon, yeah.
Lisbon, yeah.
And then boat. And then.
Paris?
No,
they don't go back. Oh, no, they go to
Alexandria. Yeah. Then France, right? Paris?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then back to London.
Mm-hmm. So I will say that. Oh, one thing we didn't even touch upon. I love the music of this movie, even though it's so simple, but like it just the music just goes with the weirdness of this movie so well.
Yeah, it's
weird. It's not something I like, want to listen to. Yeah. But like, and also I love those little breaks of chapters with like the black and white of like Bella. Like those scenes look so cool. Like artistically, like I was like, ooh, this is good. And
Is there like a literary movement maybe that's like heavily associated with like leaving and going to going to France? Did James Baldwin do that?
You're the English major. You tell us.
Yeah, you're the English major, Brendan.
I'm pretty sure James Baldwin left the United States and lived in France. Maybe not. I don't know. But I think that's like a thing. I think there are people throughout history that have like left their place and gone to France, and that's like associated with like intellectual growth or something. James Baldwin. James Baldwin, born Harlem, blah, blah, blah. I don't know, this is great dead air for a podcast. I love it. This is fantastic. Mike left to go get his fucking Wendy's. Dom's researching something for an answer.
All right, I gotta
Todd
go
is just
poop.
Not talking.
I gotta go poop. All right, bye, I guess.
Yeah, life in Paris. Disillusioned by American prejudice against black people and wanting to see himself in his writing outside an African-American context, he left the United States and settled in Paris at the age of 24. But I think there are other like notable people that have also done similar things. Maybe not. Maybe I'm just fucking making shit up. I don't fucking know. I'm not smart. Anything else anyone wants to say? Any final thoughts on this? Mike's a fucking hungry boy. Mike's a fucking hungry little boy scavenging over here.
Todd, the jerk off all of my food. Todd, it keeps happening to me. I don't know what happened.
Why do these fries smell so weird right now?
Oh, it's because Bella Baxter was your delivery. Duncan was your delivery driver.
Yeah, right?
He's like, yeah, I had to get it off.
Do you have something that you were going to say, Dom, or no?
No, I was just looking. I was looking up Alexandria because I don't know. I thought there was something, but I had nothing. So, okay. There were a lot of good one-liners. That's the last thing that I'll say.
He has cancer, you fucking idiot.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
I feel like there were a lot of those, like a scene was like boiling down, and then somebody just like says like a funny one-liner.
Yeah, I think, I mean, granted, she is most of the movie. I think Bella had a lot of good like snapbacks and stuff, like. On the boat where like he's like telling her how to talk and she fucking slaps him in the face and then makes out with him. I'm like, this is a fucking ridiculous film.
I must punch that baby.
Yeah, that was great.
That's pretty good too.
What was the knock knock joke?
Oh, it was like fromage and like cheese to meet you. I forget.
Cheese to meet.
Yeah, cheese to meet you.
I left.
Anyways, is that, are we done? Did we pour things it up? Have we
pour things it up? We're good.
Sailed the ship to its destination. Well, before we end, how we end every episode with the game. Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode 414 of the Past the Controller podcast. If you're a friend of the show, fan of the show, you want to support the show, a bunch of ways you can do that. The easiest way to do that, and quite frankly, one of the best ways you can do that, is leaving us a 5-star review on your favorite podcast platform, whether that's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to the show. Leaving us a review is super, super beneficial. So hit 5 stars, leave a quick note. It's very beneficial. We appreciate you if you do it. As a friendly reminder, if you're an audio listener, we do record the show live every week at twitch.tv/passcontroller, where you can also subscribe there if you want to give us money, or you can just follow us so that you get updates from when we go live for podcasts or other things we stream. And if you can't make the live show, no worries. We also put the stream up over on our YouTube channel after. So if you search Past the Controller Podcast on YouTube, you will find us that way as well. Yeah, Mike, are you okay over there? Have you not eaten today? What's going on?
You know, I forgot how much I like the Cajun fries. That's all.
They are good.
Oh, you got fucking 5 guys?
Yeah, 5 guys.
You said you got Wendy's.
I was thinking about it, but then I was like, you know what? I'm going to have to spend so much money anyway.
Yeah, might as well.
Buy 5 guys.
I just keep, every time I look over, Mike is like hunched over on the side and he's just shoveling fucking, he was fucking pizza Tony's fucking.
Do you want me to hear me chew the fries?
I appreciate you backing away.
I'm trying to do the sound effects for everything he's doing. So,
yeah, Todd's doing a fucking read by. He's doing the stage direction.
Mike, drink more. You drink again for a second.
This will be good.
I didn't even hear anything that Todd did or said. You can support us in a bunch of different ways. We appreciate you if you do that. But without further ado, since it's a movie episode, that means we got to play the movie
What's
game.
In the box?
No, I can't do what's in the box for movies because
I know
the back of a fucking Blu-ray is just away, the fucking probably. Synopsis of the film with every, like it's just like it there's no fun there.
Yeah, just blank out all the proper nouns.
All right, I'll pull one. This does not count because it's going to be immediately too easy.
In the second installment of this franchise, blank has to build a new suit to fight blank.
All right, ready. I'm going to do it like we would do it as a video game one. Okay. Hold on. Why am I getting? Okay. Blank makes cinematic history as it unites the blank team of a lifetime.
Avengers Endgame.
Incorrect. Blank actor name. Blank actor name. Blank actor name. And blank actor name assemble together for the first time
Avengers.
Ever. Oh yeah, Avengers. Did somebody say that?
Yeah, I said it.
I'm saying fucking blank a million times.
I said it after Dom. I said it after Dom said Infinity War.
He said Endgame. I said Infinity War. Okay. I was going to say Age of Ultron next, but yeah, this was faster.
All right, ready. This also does not count. I'll do one more. The blank saga continues as the heroes of the blank.
Okay. Never mind. Brendan only owns Marvel films. Forget it.
Wait, did you Mike, get it? What did you say?
I said Twilight.
Twilight.
As the heroes of the blank join the galactic legends in an epic adventure that unlocks new mysteries of the blank. Ragnarok. It's everything you could want and more from a blank film. Knockout fun surprises, marvelous adventure, and shocking revelations. Peter Travers, Rolling Stone.
Infinity War.
Incorrect.
Endgame.
Incorrect.
Age of Ultron.
Guardians.
Incorrect. Well, maybe we can do this game. I don't know.
Incorrect. Thor Ragnarok.
Incorrect.
Guardians 2.
Incorrect.
Guardians 3.
Digital movie Guardians included. 4. Incorrect. Digital movie included. Watch anywhere with the Movies Anywhere app.
Oh, cool.
The Director and the Blank, full-length documentary, writer-director blank takes us on a very personal and intimate journey throughout his production of the movie.
Oh, it's one of the Star Wars films.
14 deleted scenes with optional commentary by writer-director blank blank, including alternate opening.
Oh, so the Last Jedi.
Force Awakens.
It's the Last Jedi. I had to look to see what was in my hand.
He had no idea. I knew it was. I mean, not that I knew, but
yeah,
I like
the other way.
It was Force Awakens would have had to say like blank, 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 like J.J. Abrams.
Oh yeah.
That was my thought process. I have no idea.
All right. Did you just see what movie I pulled?
I did.
I saw something, but I couldn't tell what it was.
I did. Was it Akira?
Is it Akira? Yeah,
it was Akira. That's what it was. I knew it was something familiar from the box.
I was trying to pull something that wasn't a Marvel movie. All right, last one. Again, these do not count.
The first one. This is bullshit. See, you're always scaring me out.
I've been very clear. None of these.
You never said it didn't count.
Okay.
Rewind
the tape back. Blank blank writer, director, producer leads a hilarious all-star cast, including blank 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 blank. And young actor blank blank in this deliciously entertaining comedy about starting from scratch. When gifted, it is Chef.
Yeah.
There's too many food words in there.
Way too many food words.
Somebody fucking talk.
Yo,
I'm eating French fries again.
Mike, stop. All right, this is the last one of these fake ones. Stop doing that. Nobody wants to hear it.
Sorry.
Acclaimed director, blank blank, explores the origins of the legendary blank blank.
Origins the legendary?
After his blank blank dish I can't read this. It's just a plot synopsis.
Yeah, that's fine.
After his blank blank disillusioned heir blank blank actor name travels the world seeking the means to fight injustice with the help of his trusted blank blank actor name detective shit
detective Pikachu
huh
detective
Pikachu.
No, incorrect. Blank blank actor name in his ally, blank blank, actor name, blank, returns to blank and unleashes his blank blank blank.
The worst game ever.
A blank blank who uses...
Oh, wait. Driving Miss Daisy?
Incorrect. Using his... Who uses strength, intellect, and blank 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 to fight evil.
To fight... Evil. It's a detective.
Fantastic, emotional, genuinely gripping. San Francisco Chronicle.
Oh, Shazam.
Incorrect.
Yeah,
is it Sonic Batman versus Superman?
Incorrect.
Sonic 2.
Movie experience. Blank, 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 and others reveal the movie's backstories as you watch. Plus other special features. Blank, 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 in high definition. Blank blank, a blank blank spoof. Blank, the journey begins. Concept design and development of the film, as well as the casting of blank himself.
Oh.
Shaping mind and body. Observe blank blank's transformation into blank. Blank blank rises. Witness the creation of blank blank. The blank blank. Blank.
Is it the Dark Knight?
No.
Is it
Dark Knight? The Batman.
Incorrect.
Is it Batman Begins?
It is Batman Begins.
So funny. Brendan, has everyone seen The Batman?
Yeah. I just assumed Brendan wouldn't own Batman Begins.
Yeah, I kind of, yeah.
I like the Bat Trilogy.
It's not Marvel, so.
I literally have all three movies right there.
Rise of sucks.
I enjoy it still.
I think Rises is better than Begins.
I disagree with
listen,
that.
Listen, hear me out. Like, I think there's so many good things in Rises, but like, there's just so many things that fucking don't add up. Like, when Gordon's getting pushed out to the ice and Batman's like, I'm just gonna do this big flame bat on the thing and then rescue you guys. Or when they go into
he's gonna flare.
Yeah. and then, and then when they, they go into like the stock exchange of bikes during the broad daylight, yeah, and no one notices, and then they all drive out on the bikes. It's like, what is happening here? Like, it's
yeah, awesome. Well, you know,
Heath Ledger just losing him.
That was Dark Knight. That was just the Dark Knight where they go into the stock exchange. Oh no, never mind. That was Dark Knight.
No, that's Rises. Yeah.
Well, to be fair, it was
It does have a dope opening scene though. That opening scene is so good too.
They expect one of us in the wreckage.
Yeah, right. It's so good.
I wasn't going to bring this up on the podcast because I didn't know if I could or not, but it just got announced. So if you're watching this live, which at this point I don't think a lot of people are, and I probably won't post this on podcast feeds before tomorrow morning, but I will be a guest yet again on the Axe of the Blood God podcast tomorrow morning. So if you... I guess it's still worth mentioning.
What's the game they're doing right now?
What the fuck just happened here?
They're like, just kidding, psych.
So if you happen to listen to this live or you click on the VOD or something tonight, tomorrow at noon Eastern time, I will be a guest on the show with another guest. And I believe the main topic of the show is the intersection of fighting games and RPGs. So that is what that episode's going to be about. But obviously, if you don't catch it live and you're listening to this later, you should check out the Axe of Blood God podcast. Wait,
can I just fucking beeline this whole podcast right now and just talk about fighting games and all the games everyone bought and no one plays? And everyone's like, oh, you're not going to buy fucking Tekken.
You don't play any games. You play like the same fucking five games.
You're not going to buy fucking Tekken.
Okay. All right. Okay. All right. To be fair.
Street Fighter is so good. No one plays it.
Street Fighter is fucking good. People do still play it. Get the fuck out of here.
I'm just talking about, like, you know, my audience that told me it was such a great game that no one plays.
It is a great game.
I'm sure it is.
Oh my fucking God. Bro, you can spend your money however you want. I don't regret buying fighting games. I love fighting games. Like, why are you getting so fucking... You bought Guilty Gear Strive. No one told you about Guilty Gear Strive. You bought that.
That's actually one of the few games that I think is better than most of the games that came out.
All right. Okay.
Now I also bought Guilty Gear Strive. I don't play it, but I like that I have it.
Yeah. It's on Game
I love Bad. Fighting games. I love fighting games. Listen, if someone said, hey, we're hopping on this, which has happened recently, I will hop on gladly. I love playing fighting games. Am I going to like bust it out and train on my own? Not often.
You probably should.
You need to do that. You are getting your ass whooped in Street Fighter 6.
I barely played Street Fighter 6. It just did nothing for me.
Yeah, you're trash. Anyways, the scoreboard for the year so far is Dom at 16, Mike in second with 13, and Todd crying about fighting games in last with 8 points.
How many points did I just get from reading the back of the box?
Oh, yeah. let me add 4 bonus points.
Well, I got the first one, so hold on.
The way that the movie game works is I pick 3 movies. I read random things about the movie. The first person to get the movie correct gets the point. Movie number 1. This 1999 rated R film clocks in at 2 hours and 2 minutes.
Superbad?
1999?
I don't know. Oh no, The Matrix. No, because I'm trying to think. I was thinking of like.
I'm very confused by Todd right now.
What do you mean, Superbad? Superbad and like. The Matrix is 1999.
Matrix is fine year wise, but the Superbad thing is throwing me way off.
It's like 3 years or 4 years in between.
No way, Superbad's gonna be like 2007.
Blade.
Superbad is 2007. Yeah. Blade is closer in time.
Incorrect.
Dracula 2000.
Incorrect. This movie has an 87% tomato meter and a 93% audience score.
Say those again.
87 and 93.
87, 93. Okay. 87,
critic consensus. Flawlessly cast and brimming with dark acid wit. This movie is a smart, provocative high point of late 90s mainstream Hollywood film.
Oh, wait. Bram Stoker's Dracula?
Incorrect.
I just want to be sure. I couldn't remember.
Yeah. Rotten Tomatoes says you might also like Celebrity, Outside Providence, The Big Kahuna,
Celebrity,
Bulworth, and Bong Water.
Is it Half-Baked?
Incorrect.
Oh man, imagine. I wish it was.
Imagine. America. I gonna say?
Oh, I know. It's Death to Smoochie.
Ooh, it's a great guess.
I don't think that. I don't think right around was critically acclaimed in that regard.
I feel like it was.
No, keep going, Brendan. What else you got? Brendan started saying a word. I don't know if anybody picked up on that.
Wait, what did you say?
Nothing. Don't flash.
Say it again.
My clue. I was paying attention.
Yeah, Dom was paying attention. Dom gets the clue. Fuck. What was I gonna type in? That wasn't that. It was an actor name that I'm not gonna repeat. I'm gonna type it.
You were trying to type an actor name in?
Now I'm trying to throw you off because you got a fake clue.
I don't even know if
What was his clue? You gotta share it now.
It might not even be a clue. Let's let things lay as they are.
All right, this movie
rated R
had a budget of
American History X.
Incorrect. This movie had a budget of $15 million and grossed worldwide $356 million.
Wow. This is a banger. It's
Goodwill Hunting.
This movie has I want this link open. This movie has this fucking webpage just doesn't want to load. This movie has 102 award nominations, including 112 wins, as well as 5 Oscar wins in that 112.
I was going to say Austin Powers, and then you said Oscars, and I'm like, okay, so that's not Oscars. Because didn't you just say that Austin Powers is at its like 25th anniversary?
It won such awards at the Oscars as Best Cinematography, Best Writing Screenplay Written Directly for the Screen, Best Director. It was nominated for Best Music Original Score. It was nominated for Best Film Editing. It was nominated for Best Actress in a Leading Role. And then it also won for Best Actor in a Leading Role and Best Picture.
Did you say it won 5 Oscars?
Yes.
1999. Fuck.
Best Picture, 99.
That's like, that was American Beauty? High school.
It is indeed American Beauty.
Oh, great guess. Yep.
Couldn't come up with it.
Sorry, Dom.
Brennan started saying America.
Yes, I started saying America and like was like, And that's why I said actor name.
I couldn't through line with that, though.
That's why I said American History X, and then I couldn't come up with it.
What's the through line with fucking
you didn't say American Pie?
Who the fuck said there has to be a through line?
I don't know. I just assumed
it's at 100 awards.
I don't know. Awards for most flutes.
I don't know. American History. I mean, American Beauty is a fucking amazing movie, even though fucking the dude's a scumbag. But,
yeah. I mean, Todd, who said there has to be a through line? This 2008 PG-13 film also clocks in at 2 hours and 2 minutes.
2008.
Return of the King.
Incorrect. Rotten Tomatoes has this film at a 49% tomato meter and a 72% audience score.
Twilight.
It is indeed Twilight. Mike,
why Twilight? Why have I heard Twilight
twice?
There is no
fucking.
Saying. I think that's the second time I've heard Twilight tonight, so I'm just confused as to why Twilight keeps on getting mentioned.
I'm not gonna lie. I don't want to speak on the no-no here, but I do think Mike is about to get a fucking sweep.
Sorry for putting
that pressure on you, Mike.
Your boys are trying to eat his French fries and his burger.
Mike's trying so hard to get the episode done so we can eat his French fries and burger. This movie number 3. This 2015 PG-13 film clocks in at 1 hour and 41 minutes.
PG-13 shit throws me off.
2015, you said?
Todd always has complaints. Yes, 2015.
No, I'm not saying it's not a complaint. It's just like PG-13 movies just fucking... I feel like I don't
watch it. Yeah, Todd only watches rated R. If it doesn't have sex in it, Todd doesn't want it.
Yeah, it has to have everything that Poor Things had.
This movie has a 73% tomato meter and a 66% audience score. Rotten Tomatoes says you might also like The Backup Plan, The Bounce Back, The Other Woman, Aloha, and Peoples.
No Strings Attached.
Incorrect.
The Other Woman. Friends
with Benefits.
That's the other one.
Box Office Mojo lists this movie with a budget of $8,500,000. It clocked in a worldwide gross of almost $44 million.
What year was it? You said 2015?
2015.
What was the budget?
I already closed out of the tab. Eight and a half million.
$8.5 million, okay.
I'm very curious what this is. It says it has one award win. Okay, that makes more sense.
Is it an MTV award?
It has 8 nominations and 1 win. And is, no, Teen Choice Award? Is that, that's an MTV, no. Is it?
No, that's a separate award show.
So, yes, in 2015, it was nominated for Teen Choice Award for Choice Movie Comedy. It was nominated for Choice Movie Actor Comedy. It was nominated for Choice Movie Actress Comedy. It was nominated for, one for Choice Movie Villain. And it was nominated for Choice Movie Lip Lock.
Oh, I know.
Had that best kiss.
Okay, hold on. Pitch Perfect 2, Pitch Perfect 3.
2015 Best Kiss.
Pitch Perfect 1, Pitch Perfect 2, Pitch Perfect 3.
It's not a Pitch Perfect film, Todd. It's not in the Pitch Perfect universe. Let's see.
Almost 10 years ago.
This might be a rare. This could be a rare. I have to double check. I think this is a rare. No Marvel. No Marvel here.
Yeah, that you can. That doesn't even matter though when you say that.
Honestly, going into the game, I was like, Ruffalo, Stone, Defoe.
Yeah, exactly.
They're all Marvel films. That's not going to help. So far, I don't think that's mattered. So it doesn't matter.
I believe there are no main people that are. I'm pretty sure no Marvel. Don't hold me to that.
Yeah, I was going to use it anyway.
15.
I mean, you may know a very low, according to the list here of how it's delineated by top cast, a very low, still well-known actor from such movies as Transformers Dark of the Moon, and then 3 other movies I won't say.
That was Shia LaBeouf.
Incorrect.
Wait, is Dark of the Moon? Is that Marky Mark?
No, I think Shia LaBeouf was still there. So yeah, he was somebody else.
You may know the third billed actor from such TV series as Upload, The Tomorrow People, and then such movies as this one and Arc.
Hunger Games Mockingjay? No, incorrect. Not Mockingjay.
It's not a Hunger Games movie.
Okay.
I couldn't think of any. I heard Catching Fire. I'm like, I know that one.
You may know the second billed actress.
It's not from, Easy A, right?
Incorrect. You may know the second billed actress from such things as this movie, Midnight Sun, Blended, and The Scream, the TV series.
What? There was a TV series? What is Midnight Sun? That sounds so familiar. Not the game.
It does sound familiar, too. I feel like I did.
There was the Scream TV series was on MTV, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I never watched that.
Is the top billed actor, like, too well-known, too good?
Or this group of people, it is.
Ooh.
Is it... Never mind. I was going to say, is it Blended? But you just said Blended.
it's not Blended.
Is it Just Go With It?
Incorrect.
You guys have seen so many movies, and I don't know what any of them are.
You may know the top billed actress from...
Oh, it's the Love Guru.
Incorrect. You may know the top billed actress from such things as One Fine Day, Hope Floats.
I've seen Hope Floats. That's Sandra Bullock.
I was going to say the Lake House, but I think the Lake House was 2008, something like that.
This might be giving too much away, but I'll say it. The Perks of Being a Wallflower.
I haven't watched that movie yet.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I'm still...
I can only name one person 15? From the movie, so I can't.
Oh, is it... that doesn't make any sense, but is it...
End of the World. I can't remember the full title of that film. Because there was the other movie that came out.
Seeking a Friend for the End of the World?
No. It's the one with Jay Baruchel.
This is the end.
It's not our. That's
was
our.
That though, movie, was that movie 2015?
I don't know. That
movie. He said PG-13, though, right? Or am I wrong on this one?
Oh, yeah.
It is PG-13.
Oh, yeah.
You may recognize the top billed actress from television. Well, go ahead.
The one that just gave us, the one that's in Hope Floats, is that not the top billed actress? Or are you still giving more?
Hope Floats top billed actress.
Okay. Top billed.
You're
now.
Still the same person.
Same person, yes.
Okay.
Sandra Bullock is Hope Floats, right? Am I confusing this?
I'm not.
I know you didn't say that, but like,
I'm not saying that the top billed actress of this movie is the top billed actress of Hope Floats. That's not what I'm saying.
No, I know.
I just want to make sure you're not going on to a different person.
No, I'm going to stick with the top billed actress because I think this is the only way we get through this one.
Wait, what did you bring up Hope Floats for?
They were in that movie.
Jesus fucking Christ.
That's it. Okay.
Yes. You may know the top billed actress of the movie you need to guess from One Fine Day, Hope Floats, The Perks of Being a Wallflower. Not this movie, a different movie that I will not say the title of because we've all seen it and we all love it.
Is it The Proposal?
Incorrect.
Ah, damn it.
The fourth movie on this person's IMDb page for what they are known for is a movie that we all have seen, and I think I can feel comfortable saying we all love the movie. You may also recognize, which is not listed here, but if I scroll down, it would be listed under their IMDb. You may also recognize this top billed actress from a TV series that we all also love. And probably to some extent, maybe more, some more than others, quote it fairly regularly.
I don't want to say the show because I feel like I know what the show is. But
keep in mind, it doesn't mean that they're a top billed person show.
Hope Floats is throwing me off. That's
okay. I think you need to move on from that. Yeah, you do this every time.
Sandra Bullock. It's Sandra Bullock.
Okay. It's not. Oh,
it has nothing to do with Harry Connick Jr.
The Proposal.
Incorrect.
It's The Heat.
Incorrect. The fourth movie, which I will still not say because I feel like it will give too much away, is an adaptation.
Oh, it's the movie Adaptation.
That's literally where my brain went. I'm like, oh, Nicolas Cage, we're back there. All right.
Is it Ghost in the Shell?
Incorrect.
It's a good guess.
I don't know if this information will give you more hints or just confuse more things.
Probably confuse more things.
But there is a through line tonight.
I already forget what the first two movies were.
Oh. Mike got them.
Yeah, and I already forgot them too. American Beauty.
American Beauty and Twilight.
Twilight. Oh, they're all based
books.
So 2015 book. Not 2015 book. Great Gatsby? No.
I mean, that's a guess.
It is not The Great Gatsby.
That was a good guess.
I was going to say.
It wasn't that.
2015. Oh, Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Incorrect.
Damn it.
I honestly was like, wait, is it that?
I'm just looking through the top billed actresses IMDb now. They are credited in Kingdom Hearts 3.
Yeah, I don't think it's someone we know. Because, like...
Is it
Huh? What'd you say?
Her?
No.
Oh, Her. The movie Her.
That's
you're saying Her.
That's how I rated, though.
Are you saying Her, like, the actress that played her in Arrested.
Yeah, Development. I said Egg first.
Oh, okay. Egg. I didn't know what you said. I got very confused. They're in the music video for Tegan and Sarah. I Was a Fool. I feel like Mike, that resonates with Mike.
I only know like two Tegan and Sarah songs, and I've never watched the music videos.
I don't think me giving you deep cuts from their IMDb is going to help anybody. I'm just looking through.
Oh, I know what it is. It's Maze Runner.
Incorrect.
I was going to say Divergent.
You know what's so funny is that like...
Oh, they are also credited in Kingdom Hearts 2. I wonder if they're in Kingdom Hearts 1.
Who do they play in Kingdom Hearts?
Sora.
I feel like I shouldn't say that because Dom must know.
Yeah, don't say that.
That's pretty sneaky. That's pretty sneaky, Dom. I like that. I respect that.
I mean, I can reveal it, but it seems like it's going to only be a helpful clue for Dom.
Yeah,
I'll say this. They voice a Final Fantasy character.
A Final Fantasy VII character.
You got to give a bigger clue away because I feel like this is Devil Horns right now.
I can't remember who does her voice in that though.
And even if
I could think of it, I still can't figure out what this fucking movie is. 2015, based on a book.
We assume it's based off a book. I make that very clear.
Did you give us any actors in this? Like, have we gotten any established actors or just like fucking Scream TV show people and shit?
I didn't give you the names of the top billed people, but I mean, I've given you their IMDb. Right now. Okay, sure. The third billed actor is Robbie Amell. You're just going to give it to Mike, by the way, if you let me reveal his information.
That's fine, though.
I'm trying to think about
Robbie.
Robbie Amell.
Yeah,
from The Sound of Metal, same dude.
Rob Mel.
I told you their top billed friends, and it was not the
brother.
Sound of Metal. No, I'm saying the same actor from Sound of Metal.
He was Red Arrow on Arrow.
Robbie Mel.
Oh, is this a Netflix movie? Because if it is, I don't know the name of it.
I don't believe. I believe this movie is a theatrical release film. Okay.
Robbie,
you may know the director of this film from such thing. Okay, they won an Oscar. Let me. You may know the director from their Oscar-winning short film. So that actually won't help anybody, probably.
Yeah, probably not.
You may know them from this movie, from Gaddafi Goes Hollywood, from When We First Met, and the Oscar-winning short West Bank Story. They also directed Goosebumps 2 Haunted Halloween.
Ooh.
Oh, good for them.
The one episode of the TV series Shadowhunters.
Ooh.
Yeah. I don't think the director is going to help you. Let's take a look. Let's go back to let's see.
It's a big old Devil Horns, I think.
I mean it is. But
it's not.
I mean, it's still a difficult one. It is placed at the end on purpose.
Okay.
But I feel like at this point, I do need to give more revealing information. So the fourth movie that you might know the top billed actress from is adapted from a graphic novel.
Okay. Is it...
Damn, now I think I have the actress.
No Strings Attached?
Didn't we already do both of those movies?
It is not that. The fourth movie that this actress is known for is Scott Pilgrim vs. the World.
Oh, I picked the wrong actress. She's also in that movie. That's fair.
Who? Who'd you say?
I don't. If it's her, then I don't know any other movie that I don't know what movie she would be at the star of.
If it's not her, that means it has to be. Well, actually.
Oh, is it Juno?
No, Juno.
PG-13.
Well.
It is not
Juno. She was in that, right?
Yeah, Juno won Oscars.
I can't remember what any of the...
Wait, you're saying... Wait, this movie won Oscars, you're saying? Or
no, this movie did not win anything. It won Kids' Teen Choice Award.
Okay.
All right, if I pick actresses from Scott Pilgrim, probably not Mary, probably not Anna, might be her. But then
Is it The Room?
Incorrect.
Or Room.
Isn't Robbie S-R-rated movie? That's R-rated too, though.
Is it Boyhood?
No, that's R-rated as well, I think. Boyhood is what I was going to pick.
I'm just trying to get stuff out of the way here.
Yeah.
Is it
Wait a second. Never mind. I forgot that there's like a through line, and I was gonna start doing Aubrey Plaza movies with
me too. Yeah.
The title of this film has an acronym in it.
What does that mean?
Todd, maybe you're too dumb for this.
Listen, I'm an English major, all right?
The Man from S.H.I.E.L.D. Man from Uncle, that's what it was.
The tagline for this film is, you either know one, you have one, or you are one.
Penis.
What movies are you watching, Mike?
Listen, I like that answer.
Either know one, you have
one,
or you are one. I mean, I feel like this should upset me when I find out what the answer is, assuming I don't guess it.
I don't. I feel like this is going to be something I've never.
I think this is. Is this a stump? Did we just stump the panel?
I mean, I'm not going to sit here and I'm not even going to try to guess because everything you said. You said fucking the guy, the Armel's brother, the guy who's fucking barely even known, and he's like a main player in this. Like the dude who's not even the green fucking arrow.
Can I have more information on the second actor or actress?
Sure. Yeah.
Let's do that.
Hold on.
Oh. Oh, I just got something in my head.
Oh, I can help you. It's Pride and Prejudice.
What?
Pride and Prejudice with zombies? And Prejudice and zombies?
You okay over there, Todd?
Listen, I'm trying to help him out a little bit. He's got something in his head. I don't want to fucking scare him off. That would probably be the best fucking thing for me, right?
Let's see. The second billed actress. This is according to Google results. This actress is an American actress, singer, and writer. She first received recognition for her roles as a character in the series Dirty Sexy Money and as a character in the drama series My Own Worst Enemy.
That's the second billed actress?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
This was a straight to DVD movie.
We're gonna find out. It's like The Hobbit.
Do you all know who the top billed actress is? Do I need to say it? Do you know who it is?
I'm sure you could say it, and I probably still wouldn't know.
It's one of like three people.
All right. Well, the third billed is Robbie Amell.
Yeah.
Yep.
The second billed actress is Bella Thorne.
Okay.
No idea.
Okay. I wouldn't have
gotten that. And, who's that? And
the top billed actress is Mae Whitman.
Never heard of any of those people.
Oh, the Duff.
Okay. So, it is indeed the Duff. Mike gets the point. Yeah. Mike gets the sweep.
Is that even a real movie?
Wait, Mike.
He has definitely seen this movie.
I brought up that movie, and I couldn't figure out what movie it was.
Well, I kept picturing her as the second billed actress.
Oh.
I forgot she's the lead in The Duff.
I always called her the lead. I never said she was the second billed actress.
What movie would she be the lead actress of? I'm pretty sure
if you did a poll
as the lead actress for like 20 minutes.
I could have sworn we were still in the second
billed. What's the through line?
Does anyone know?
The Duff can't be based on terrible movies.
The through line is not that these are based on books. Does anyone have another guess before I reveal what the through line is?
No, go nuts.
American Beauty.
Nope. Twilight.
Go nuts.
The Duff.
All terrible movies based on books?
I don't know anything about American Beauty. Is it about having sex with...
We're gonna stop that one right there. The through line is Bella.
Bella what?
Bella for beauty. Bella the lead character in Twilight. And
this is a terrible through line.
I was throwing fucking daggers out there. I was the through line shouldn't like necessarily be the thing that's easy to figure out.
I don't think I'm Mr. Movie Man, but I've never fucking heard of this movie. This is a movie that you'd have to fucking pay me $1 million to see.
It is a Devil Horns film. That's the point. It's Devil Horns.
I think I mentioned a half an hour ago that it was Egg, and I still come up with what movie it was.
Dom said Egg so long ago, and I was trying not to laugh, and I was trying to brush it off. I was like, I just went to
other actresses because I was like, I don't know what movie she would be the star of.
And then he said her, and I was trying not to laugh. I was like, this is fucking
what do you mean Egg? What do you mean Egg?
Yeah, I just don't know any. I said, I don't know.
Are
any
you serious,
Tom? The star of.
Yeah.
You're a fake Arrested Development fan.
Oh, so who is an Arrested Development? Because when you said that, I'm like, oh, he's talking about Arrested.
Arrested Development. Is fucking George Michael's girlfriend.
Oh, see, I would have never guessed that because, like, I feel like that girl never did anything after that show. Because, like, why would I know? Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, an $8 million budget movie.
Yeah, she's in Scott Pilgrim.
And she's the voice of Korra.
Who the fuck is she in Scott Pilgrim? That.
And she is a voice in Kingmar. She voices Yuffie.
Who is she in Scott Pilgrim?
She's one of the evil exes.
She was the one female evil ex.
Oh, okay. That girl. Yeah, she's never done enough for me to even know who she is.
Yeah, you are Michael.
Yeah, Todd's literally Michael. Her.
Yeah, it sounds like her.
Funny or something?
Who's that?
Well, that's the first thing I thought of when you said like it's a TV show. And I'm like, oh, it's Arrested Development. I'm like. Who the fuck is it? And someone else, I was like, yeah, I have no idea.
Anyways, I liked that through line. I thought it was good.
I don't think it's bad.
It was good.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead.
The Duff was hard.
Keep thinking about
the Duff. Like, I would like to. I can't.
The sweep. That ends
Duff
the week.
Sort of right. Like, dumpy, ugly,
I literally don't care about
like that.
Yeah, something like that. That ends the week with Mikey Mike with fries in hand. Putting a dual crown on top of his head, sharing the throne for the week with Dom. Tied in first with 16. And you know what? Todd's in third with half those points.
Yeah, I'm never coming back from this.
No, you got plenty of time. We're not even at the midway point of the year. You're good. You got this.
I've been struggling this year, though. You gotta
come into the gate and like be on the same page from the get-go. You gotta put the pay down.
You gotta
I'm gonna start Googling shit. That's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna start fucking just Googling shit.
And start putting your thinking cap on.
Anyways.
You can tell me every last bit about the Duff. Tell me everything last bit about the Duff, and I still wouldn't have got the fucking Duff. I don't even know what that means. I don't even know what that movie is.
Designated ugly fat friend.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
All right, you guys are bullies. I get it. All right, whatever.
I didn't write it. I need to pick my movie. Fuck.
Sure do.
You get time. You can wait a week.
I'm not going to do that to the people listening.
What do you mean? I watched it the last week anyways.
Yeah, nobody gives a fuck about you, Todd.
Mike doesn't dumb this, too. I know for a fact.
I watch the movie early sometimes, get it out of the way.
Every once in a while, I will. It depends on the movie.
Yeah, it depends on the movie. Do we want to do? I think I'm landing between Ghost in the Shell, 1995,
mm-hmm.
or French Dispatch.
Mm-hmm.
Do a poll. If you can't figure
it
out.
Yeah, I'm going to throw it back. I'm going to do a poll. I'm going to put up a poll. So if you're listening right now and you want to know what the movie is, go to twitter.com. I've refused to call it the other name. Go to Twitter. Go to @passcontroller. There'll be a poll up for a few days. And maybe I'll throw a third or fourth movie in the mix too, but definitely Ghost in the Shell.
I think Ghost in the Shell will win between those two. So
you
should do a
blank space, a write-in space.
Ooh,
see what kind of good.
No,
I
don't want that. I don't want that. Listen, if someone else, farm the audience, go for it.
I was gonna text Todd and just say let's flood the.
I was like I want to do that actually. If we can get some fucking randos in there,
I don't know if I'm gonna throw.
People want to watch Gummo.
I don't know if I'm going to throw a third or fourth movie into the poll. It's definitely going to be between Ghost in the Shell and French Dispatch. Maybe I'll add a third or fourth in. Bro, it's my pick. Get out of here. No.
Ghost in the Shell, French Dispatch, Akira. Boom.
Not Gummo. I mean, Todd, do you want to watch Akira? Is that where we're at here?
No, I'm just saying, like, you brought those up, and I'm, like, down for all three of those, so it doesn't really –
The place that I'm at is that I'm not gonna lie, like I do want to watch good movies. The other place that I'm at is I really fucking liked Asteroid City. Like the longer it's gone that we've watched it, I'm kind of like I want to watch another Wes Anderson movie. And
I've never watched a bad Wes Anderson movie, in my opinion.
Yeah,
I haven't seen them all, but like I've never watched a bad one.
Jen was like, didn't you guys watch two last year? I think we did. Phantasmagoria Fox was also last year, right?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Fucking amazing. It was so good though.
I don't know if I want to like just be all Wes Andersoned out, but like whatever. I kinda like maybe there's some more fucking jams in there. And we haven't seen it. So that's like another bonus there. But I feel like we have picked a few anime films and they have not hit with Todd. And I feel like Ghost in the Shell would be one that would actually get Todd.
I feel like the one we picked was super depressing. And like, it wasn't a bad movie, but it was.
Did I do a Ghibli first? Well, but did I do like a more lighthearted Ghibli at some point? I feel like I did. The Wind Rises, maybe.
No, you've never done a Ghibli. So I've never seen a Ghibli movie. Just putting that out there.
What?
Yeah, I'm sure I'd hate.
Like, I thought we picked a Ghibli movie. Didn't we watch The Wind Rises for?
We did watch The Wind Rises.
Which to be fair, is like a heavier toned.
We did not watch that movie. We can go back, run the tape back. We've never watched a Ghibli movie. I can assure you, because I've never watched a Ghibli movie in my life.
I'm almost positive. I'm just gonna Google "Past the Controller of The Wind Rises." I'm pretty sure that we did.
We did do The Wind Rises. If you're arguing that if The Wind Rises is not a Ghibli film.
Was I not part of this? Because
isn't like, it not a Miyazaki film?
It's a Miyazaki.
It's a Miyazaki film. That yeah. Is true.
Yeah. No. I like. No. There's no way. I've never
episode 270. The PDC Movie Club is apparently a double feature where we watched Black Dynamite, which is a fucking banger.
Oh, it was a weekend.
And The Wind Rises.
Wait, we watched both.
Yeah. Todd
is not on the episode, but you just didn't watch the movies.
Okay. No, I watched Black Dynamite,
and I watched The Wind Rises.
Wind Rises like doesn't even ring a bell to me. I don't even know we did a double feature.
I feel it's Cam's pick. For some reason, we had Cam.
Okay, that makes sense.
But didn't watch it. Okay, good.
I didn't even know about that.
Didn't watch the movie.
What do you mean? I didn't even fucking double feature.
That might be the first double feature we did. Oh, you know what it was? Yeah, I think that
was yelling at me for the double features.
I think that's
day one.
Let's get the fuck out of here. We were not doing it from day one. But I think that was back in the time where we were going to potentially float the idea of having a guest also pick a movie and have like a guest movie club too. And then we never followed through because it's a lot of movies.
I feel like that's like a good like once a month thing to do though. Like, no, I'm not saying, I mean, not, no, once a month. That doesn't make sense. Yeah. Well, like maybe once every couple,
I'm fine with that. Listen,
I think that's a good idea. Actually,
I'm fine with a quarterly. Like, you can even pick the guest if you want. Like, if you wanted to be your courageous as a group guest.
What if we did a quarterly audience pick, and we just left a blank slate as a write-in ballot?
I don't hate that idea, but I feel like we need to funnel the audience into a way. We need to figure out where the audience is and get actual listeners to give us that information. No, because this is going to be random people on the internet that don't actually engage with the show writing things like Gummo.
Yeah.
I don't want to.
And then we got to watch Gummo. And we got to discuss.
We don't want to watch Gummo again.
We can noodle on this idea off the air at a more extensive conversation.
What do you do, Brendan? You just watch Gummo on your own time, just so you can say like I've already seen
it. No, if there's any movie that Brendan watches, like, and we've said this fucking over and over again, just watch Edge of Tomorrow. That's it. Like, that's the only movie I want you to watch that I don't want to pick as my pick because we've all watched it. Just watch that fucking movie. Come back and be like, holy shit, this movie is fucking the greatest movie I've ever seen.
Put Edge of Tomorrow in your pool.
That's Todd's fucking movie. I'm not doing that.
No. It's not my movie. We've all seen
you
it.
You can do that. No, that's like the least of what I want to pick if you've all seen it. That's like
I'm not talking the last about, thing like, I want to pick. No. You're missing. I just want you to watch it on your own time.
Oh, that's all fine. Right. Yeah, sure.
I think as one of your options.
I'm going to put up a poll. It'll only be a couple of days. It will not be a week. So if you are listening to this, head on over to Twitter @PassController, vote in the poll, If you really, really feel like trying to rile the people up and you want to comment on the tweet with a movie pick that you want to throw in there, if it gets traction, we can think about it. We can take a look. We can,
Brendan, does this change your thoughts at all? Edge of Tomorrow is based on a Japanese science fiction novel
called All You Need Is Kill.
I mean, that's cool. I'm not saying I wouldn't like the movie and wouldn't watch it at some point. But now I kind of just want to pick Ghost in the Shell. Now, like, you're just making me want to pick Ghost in the Shell.
I don't really care what you pick. It's your pick.
Mike, you want to sway me either way? What are you feeling? You feeling a little 17 of the same actors doing a little quirky up-close headshots? Or you want, like, you know, peak cyberpunk anime?
I'm looking out for the people. And they heard you say, I'm going to put a poll up on twitter.com/passcontroller. Okay. And for you to be like, oh, never mind, I'm actually going to pick this movie.
All right, fine. Poll's going up. We appreciate you. We'll see you next time.